Okay, so right, Gemara says Rav Rabbi Yehuda Srile. Does Rav really hold like Rabbi Yehuda about this more expansive view of Muksa? They asked the final question to Rav. Can you bring in the Hanukkah menorah after? Can you bring in the Hanukkah menorah after they went out? Can you bring them inside? They were lit outside, and since they were lit, the Hanukkah menorah was muksa because it was muksa in Erev. That's not me. Yeah, there's got to be a way that I can stop that. I'll try again. So, okay, so the Hanukkah menorah was outside, and they will bring it in. And they want to know if they can bring it in. And Rav says, Shapir Dami, that it's mutter to bring it in. So the question is, if Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, how does he allow you to bring the Ner Hanukkah inside after it goes out? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be usher to bring the Hanukkah candle in because it was lit in Erev Shabbos. So clearly he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. He must hold like Rav Shimon. So Gemara answers, no, Shas HaTchak Shani. When you're the Shas HaTchak, it's a different situation. Rashi says Shas HaTchak means Sakana, right? It means it's a dangerous time. Amal Shalo B'Shas HaTchak Usher. He only allows you to move it in the Shas HaTchak to Ha'amar Le Rav Kahana Rav Ashi Le Rav, because that's what Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, and Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi said to Rav, Hachi Hilchsa, that this is the halacha, that you let her bring it in. Va'amar Lehu, he says, is that really the halacha? He says, Va'amar Lehu, yeah, Kedai Hu Rav Shimon L'smoch La B'Shas HaTchak. Really, we can hold like Rav Shimon when it comes to Shas HaTchak. We're allowed to hold like Rav Shimon. So really, Rav, like Rav Yehuda, that you, in normal, typical situation, you would not be able to move the Hanukkah candle. But this was Shas HaTchak that he allowed him to bring him in, so Rav could still be holding like Rav Yehuda. So Bayiminei, yeah. Right, so I mentioned that while I was frozen, that it must have not have been a real hardcore, you know, it must have been like just sort of a sakana, not because if it's sakana nefashos, then you can't bring it in, you can't do that, right? Toso says it's not a full shas hadchak. Or the other answer could be that it is really a hardcore shas hadchak with a gemetic zera, and therefore, you know, even though we say that Yehard Yavar is only on the big three, but if they make a specific zera about a mitzvah, right? That's the Yoredei in Shulchan Aruch rules in Siman Kuf and Zayin in Yoredeia. If they make a takana about you know if it's gzeiras hashmad, then even you know tying your shoes the other way, you have to violate the shas hashmad. So either it wasn't such a big zera, or it was a full fledged. You know, Shas HaShmad, which means that it's Yehara Gal Yavor. Don't know. I mean, I don't know about you. I light outside. I have the thing and I light it outside. I don't know. I know Rabbi Rovag lights it outside. There are people who light it outside. I'm not afraid of the Chabarim, so I guess I light it outside. All right. So Bayiminei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Chitin shezira'on bikarka. So you planted wheat in the ground, but apparently they did not take root yet. If you took root, you'd have a problem with Harisha. So you planted these seeds in the ground. Ubeitzim shetachas tarnagolos. And you have these eggs that are under the chicken. So mahu. Would Rabbi Shimon allow you to move these on Shabbos? Right, he has a very, very small and very, very you know restrictive view of muksa. So you have these chitin or these eggs. Would you be Rabbi Shimon permit you to move them on Shabbos? When we say ki lesli the Rabbi Shimon muksa, when we say Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muksa, right? I mean, no, he doesn't hold of muksa. It's right to be used on Shabbos. Is that heicha de lo dachi b'yadayim? Is that only if he didn't, you know, do some sort of action on Erev Shabbos? He'd do sort of maisa that shows that he doesn't want to use it for Shabbos, right? right? So therefore, hechad alocha the yibdayim, but hechad the dachib yibdayim. But if on the Arab Shabbos he does something, he does some sort of action which seems to indicate that he doesn't want to use these for Shabbos. For example, planting the wheat. So islay muksa, would he hold that there's muksa? O dilma lo shna, or would he say that no difference whether dachib yadayim or not dachib yadayim, he doesn't hold of this concept of muksa. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, ain muksa l'Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon does not hold muksa, except for a few cases. There's no muksa Rav Shimon, even if Rashi says ain muksa l'Rav Shimon b'davar haroi, something that can be, that's, you know, ra'i to be used on Shabbos, there's no muksa for Rabbi Shimon. So upright, and he says, Ella, except, what's the exception? Ella, Jeff, that is very, very disturbing, right? Okay, Ella, where do you get that from? So he says, Ein muksa Rabbi Shimon, Ella shemen shebiner b'shasu dolek. The only thing that's usher for muksa, for Rabbi Shimon, is the oil in the candle while it's burning. The oil in the candle while it's burning. Why? Hoel v'huksasol mitzvaso, and the Gersa adds in an important letter here. Hoel v'huksasol mitzvaso v'huksa l'isoru. You need two ingredients in order to make something muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. Number one, it has to be set aside to be doing a mitzvah. So the oil in the candle is set aside to do the mitzvah of hadlakas ner Shabbos. And it's huksa l'isuro. The oil is also usur to touch, because if you remove it, you're going to be mechaba. You're going to be putting out the, or lessening or diminishing, you'll be putting out the candle. So you need these two ingredients, according to Rav Shimon, for it to be muksa. It has to be huksa l'mitzvaso and huksa l'isuro. So the Gemara then asks, really? You need both ingredients? The less lay huksa l'mitzvaso, does Rav Shimon not hold that you can have something that's muksa if it's just huksa l'mitzvaso, if it's just being used for a mitzvah? What about the following brisa? Vatanya, with the following brisa, says, sikricha kihilchasa. So it's a brisa in the Masechta Sukkah and Daf Yud. So you made the schach on your sukkah. The itra bikramim, and then you adorned it with all these, you know, big, these colored garments. Ubisidonim tsuyarim, you had all these murals. Vitalabe gozim, you put on nuts, afarsakin, shkedim, you know, almonds, rimonim, pomegranates, afarkilation lanavim. You know, they put all these fruits and vegetables all over the sukkah. All right, vienos, vishmonim, muslatos. Asor listapik mehen ad motse yomtuf ha'achron. You're not allowed to touch them. You're not allowed to get benefit from them. They're muksa, right? Noi sukkah are muksa. You're not allowed to get benefit from them, right? Ad l'motzei yontif achron, until the end of the last day of yontif. Aye, but im hisne aleihem, but if made a tnai initially, then a kol fi tana'o. Then everything goes according to the tnai. So you see from here that these things are not muksa machmas yisuro. There's no isser in eating fruits. The only reason why they're set aside is because they're being using a muksa. And they're using muksa, and the brisa says that they're set aside for a mitzvah, and the brisa says they're muksa. So you see, Rav Shimon would hold that even if they're just huksa l'mitzvaso, they're going to be muksa. The Gemara says, wait a second, this brisa doesn't have an author to it. Umimai the Rabbi Shimon he. Who says that this brisa is going in accordance with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon? You're asking from this brisa, but you see, if something's only huksa l'mitzvaso, it's muksa, therefore Rabbi Shimon, it must be muksa. Who says this is Rabbi Shimon speaking? So Gemara answers, right, Gemara says, I can prove to you that this is Rabbi Shimon. Detani, because Detani Rabbi Bar Yosef, because Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef explained this, Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, it says, Ein, so the Gemara's now mentioned two different sukkahs. So the first time we mentioned sukkah here in the Brisa is talking about someone who makes a hut to eat outside on, let's say, Pesach or Shavuos. The second time I mentioned sukkah is going to be a real sukkah. So the Tani, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Kamei de Reb Yochanan, Ein notlin eitzim in a sukkah b'yantav. Right, you're not allowed to take the branches or the tree, or the, I guess the branches or the wood that are, let's say you made a sukkah on yantav. So you have some branches or some wood that are made for like a shade for that sukkah, you're not allowed to take them, move them. You're not allowed to move these branches. And they point out, even if the sukkah falls down, you can't take them down because these things are muksa. Right? Rashi says, Ein notlin, Tani Reb Chiya, Ein notlin ha'etzim, be Pesach ubat saris misukkah hatsui l'shel. So on Pesach or Shavuos, you made a sukkah for shade. Vafilu naflu, even if the sukkah fell down, you can't touch the beams. Mishum muksa, why? Did katsayi machmas stiras oel b'yantif. When yantif came in, when you started yantif, at time yantif began, these beams were muksa. You couldn't remove these beams, because if you remove the beams, then you would be soser. Soser is a malacha. So these things are going to be their muksa, right? Ein noltim eitz min asuka biyantav, elam min asamachla. But you can take things, Rashi says, im samach chavilos eitzim eltzel dofna lekalis or muksa. If you put some other beams next to the sukkah, you put some other beams next to the sukkah that are not part of the sukkah, those are not muksa, because those aren't set aside. They don't have this muksa aspect to it. They weren't set aside for the building, right? Elam min asamachla. But the Rabbi Shimon matir. And Rabbi Shimon allows you to take even the beams that fell off from the sukkah. He allows you to do that if they fell. Why? Because less than muksa. He doesn't hold to this idea of muksa. But v'shavin, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon agree, b'sukkas hachag, b'chag, if you have the sukkah of the sukkah, if a sukkah on sukkahs, shehi asura, then if those beams fell off, it would be mutter. It would be muksa. Why is Rabbi Shimon agreeing here that it would be muksa? Must be that he agrees it's going to be muksa because it's huksa the mitzvaso. It's set aside for the mitzvah, and the only thing it's set aside for the mitzvah. Right? Rashi says v'shavin besukos hachab b'chag shel huksa the mitzvaso, because the sukkah and the beams are set aside for the mitzvah. The mitzvaso kol shiva. The mitzvah is all 7 days of sukkos. Alma kol shas mitzvaso noheg muksa shelo. So all as long as the mitzvah is being done, you have this idea of muksa. The afagav the lek is sustira. Even if you don't have this this isser of stira, I guess there's no isser of stira. I don't know why there's no isser of stira on sukkahs either. Right? Oh, because he's saying because it's usser, he's saying it's usser all 7 days, and there's no isser of stira on Chol HaMoed. So it's usher all 7 days. So you see, it's not huksa l'isuro, but it's huksa l'mitzvaso. And so you have the second day Chol HaMoed. It's only huksa l'mitzvaso, and yet he holds its muksa. So you see, if he's now allowed, if he made it tonight, kol fi tonight, then everything goes according to the tonight. But you see here, according to this, that Rav Shimon does not need both ingredients of huksa l'mitzvaso and huksa l'isuro. All he needs is huksa l'mitzvaso, and that would be it. So Rav Yochanan say that only time Rav Shimon says that the idea of muksa is when you have both ingredients? Here, if only has one ingredient, it's still muksa. So the Gemara says, you're right, ein lechanami. We're going to retract and rephrase. He says, ke'ein shemen shemben ner karminon. Ho'el huksel mitzvaso, huksel yisuro. He says, no, what Rav Yochanan meant to say is Rav Shimon holds of muksa only in cases similar to the case of the oil in the candle. What was the case of the oil in the candle? Rashi, let's read Rashi. Ke'ein shemen b'ne'er k'minan. V'lo mishum iser, it's not because it's aser, el mishum mitzvah. The whole issue is because it's set aside the mitzvah. To ho'el, the huksel, the mitzvaso, the Shabbos, since the candle that's burning is set aside to do the mitzvah of hadlakas ne'er on Shabbos, huksel, the kolzman iser, the lekasav lo yoser. So then it's, so long as the mitzvah is being done with it, it's going to be muksa. The ain mitzvah so el b'shas laikuso. The only time you're doing the mitzvah when it comes to the candles is when it's burning. Umishakavla ain bo mitzvah. Once it goes out, there's no longer the mitzvah. Then the oil would be mutter, right? Aval b'sukkas, Rashi says, when it comes to sukkas, abasukkas achag, that you know, a tabernacle on yontif, mitzvah so kol shiva. The mitzvah is all 7 days. V'huksasa kol zman mitzvah, and therefore it's set aside. It's going to be muksa the whole time of the mitzvah. So what Rabbi Yochanan says is that Rav Shimon only holds of muksa of huksa the mitzvah. That's why sukkah is going to be usher all 7 days, and that's why the candle is only going to be usher when it's burning, because only when it's burning is the oil doing the mitzvah, and that's why he doesn't have an issue with the chitim shazaron or the beitim tarchas tarnagoles, because there's no mitzvah for them over there. It's available and ready to use for Shabbos, even though it may have been, you know, pushed aside. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon doesn't hold to that. He doesn't hold to that muksa. Okay. Fine. Itmar Nami, right? Support for that. Itmar Nami. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is the name of Yochanan. Ein muksa l'Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon doesn't hold muksa except for Ela Ke'ein Shemen Shebener B'Shasha Hudolik. Except for anything similar to the oil in the candle when the oil is burning. Ho'il v'huksel mitzvaso, huksel yisuro. Since it's huksa to its mitzvah, since it's set aside, it's doing a mitzvah, so at the time that it's doing its mitzvah, then it's usher. Then that's when it's usher, but if it's not doing the mitzvah, then it is not usher. Okay. So that's one muksa that Rav Shimon holds. Rav Shimon holds of huksel mitzvaso. Now, they're going to try to bring another case. Maybe Rav Shimon also holds a muksa in this case. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ain muksa. I get, is gardening like an essential thing? Ain muksa le Rabbi Shimon ela grogros v'tzimukim bilvad. Shimon also holds the grogros and simukim. Those are also muksa. What are grogros and simukim? So if you look at Rashi, it's the last short line. Grogros are te'enim shemale legag liyashan. Those are dates that you bring up to the roof in order to dry them. Dates brought up to dry. Umishe nishtahu shama'at. And even if they're there just for a short period of time, ein ru'uyim lachila ad sheyis yabshu. B'chein simukim danavim. So too, like simukim are grapes. They're making raisins, basically. You're making the top dry. So you take the raisins, you take the dates, and you bring them up to your roof to dry. Within moments, they're inedible, right? So you have these. So what's going on here is you have also again now two conditions. What you've done is you've done a. The Ram points this out. You've done a maisa where you've pushed them off. You've done a physical action where it shows that you don't want these things for Shabbos because you're putting them on your roof. And not only did you do a physical action, they are not royal. They're not suitable for Shabbos use anymore because almost immediately upon putting them on the roof, they're inedible until the process completely dries out. So in those cases, he's going to say that there's muksa, right? There's two things. You have dichui and lo chazi. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, ein muksa lo rishimon el begrogos v'tzimukim bilvad. So Gemara says, umidi achrini lo. Are there other peros? Are there other fruits that don't also have this issue? That they get destroyed right away, that they get ruined, so to speak, right away when they're put up on the roof? Vatanya, the following brisa, haya ochel b'te'inim. If you're eating, guess dates, v'hosir, and you had leftovers, v'he'alon legag, lasos megrogros, and you put them, and you support them with the roof to make this sort of, you know, date raisin, or anavim, you have grapes, v'hosir, and you're left over, v'he'alon legag, lasos megrogros, you board them up to make them raisins, lo yochal, you can't eat them on Shabbos, ad sheyazmin, until, I guess, unless you prepare, you can't eat them on Shabbos, unless you had kavana to eat them on Shabbos, because then, again, it called goes to kavana, and they weren't set aside. V'chein et ha'omer, he says, he's the same, v'afar sakin. The chavushin, I think chavushin are quinces, right? With shar kol mine peros, all other peros. So you have all these peros. You said that he only holds it by grogros utsimukim, right? By dates and by raisins. But here that this brisa says it applies to all types of fruit. And Rashi says v'chena to omer, the third to last line, v'afal gav da hanu chazi kol shaita. Even though these things are suitable, right, to be eaten, even when they're up on the roof, it's only the dates and the grapes that are not suitable to eating. But these things that are suitable to eating, nevertheless, they're going to be considered muksa, right? So it seems from here that Rav Shimon's holding that you don't need for it to be lo chazi, even if you only have one prong, even if you just say that you pushed it away, you put it on the roof, that you were docha it, you did some sort of action, that would be enough to make the muksa. Why are you saying that you need only grogros tzumukim, which means dichoy and lo chazi? You see here the price says that pushing them away, dichoy is enough. So Gemara says, no, money. Who says that this price is Rav Shimon? Number one, so the Gemara says, well, who else could it be? Money, Elim Rabbi Huda. If you can tell me that the brisa is in the shita of Rabbi Huda, that can't be. Why? Because the brisa says that something comes muksa if you do dichu b'yadayim. You do some sort of action to set it aside. But Rabbi Huda doesn't require dichu b'yadayim, right? Sorry, Rabbi Huda doesn't even require dichu b'yadayim. My internet is back, so I'm going to go back on. If it breaks down, let me know. I'll shut it off. Well, Yehuda doesn't even require dichu b'yadayim, right? Uma hecha delo dachu b'yadayim, right? Rabbi Islahu muksa. Rabbi Yehuda says if something is not huksa, Yehuda says in order to be mutter on Shabbos, you have to have, it has to be something that you plan on using. You don't even, if you don't do any action to push it away, if you just didn't have intent to use it, you don't have to push it away for it to be muksa. So if it might, so, Rabbi Huda muksa. Rabbi Huda says, you know, can have muksa even much easier. So of course he would say, if you put it on the roof and you did an action, would be usher. What would the brisa be machadish? Elulav Rav Shimon he. Must be that the brisa is going according to Rav Shimon. And if the brisa is going according to Rav Shimon, it shows that even peros that don't get ruined on the roof, also, once you put them on the roof before Shabbos, you did this dichoy, you did this action to show that you don't want to use them for Shabbos, and that's enough, which goes against what we said, that you needed two things. You needed dichoy, and you needed lo chazi. These are dichoy without lo chazi. So what's going on? So it must be that what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that Rav Shimon says, Moksa is by grogros utsimokim only, is wrong. So Mar says, no, we'll save it again. La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. This brisa is like Rabbi Yehuda. But you ask according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need dichlu b'yadayim. You don't need to do an action to push it off. La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. Ochel itzdrichle. You need this brisa to teach me about food. Sakadai dechamina. You might have thought kevan deka ochel v'azil loli bay hazmana. Right. What was going on with this case? This guy was eating them. He was eating them on Erev Shabbos. They had leftovers and he put them up there. So you might have thought, since he was eating them on Erev Shabbos, so it's not going to be muksa, because he showed that he was eating them, that the eating would override putting him on the roof. Kamash Malan came to Hell Lagag, Asuchi Asichi Daiti Liminayu. Kamash Malan, the Bryce comes to teach us, know that the putting on the roof overrides the fact that he was eating it before Shabbos. Putting on the roof, that mice itself is going to knock it off, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would say that even in this case, it's going to be considered muksa. And therefore, we now have a second idea of muksa for Rav Shimon of grogos utzimukim. Number one, we said is the first thing of muksa we said was muksa machmas mitzvah, and now we're saying that if you have an item that you did an action and pushed it away, and the item is not roi to be eaten on Shabbos, like the grogos utzimukim, then Rav Shimon would agree that that is muksa. There's a third one. Rav Shimon also agrees on muksa machmas yisar kis that comes up later. Okay. Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe mi Rebbe. So Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon the son of Rebbe, asks his father Rebbe the following question. Okay, patzile tamara le Rabbi Shimon mahu. If you have these patzile tamara, what's the rule according to Rabbi Shimon? So two things: the fact that he's asking in the shita of Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Shimon holds, Rabbi Shimon and Rebbe hold. Sorry, that Rabbi Shimon the son of Rebbe and his father Rebbe hold like Rav Shimon, Shimon Bar Yochai. They hold like Rav Shimon. Okay, that's the assumption. It's a big assumption. And the Gemara is going to use that assumption and reject the question. But what is Patzilei Tamara? Patzilei Tamara, Rashi says, are Tamarim, these dates, Hanil Kotim Kodim Bishulon. They're gathered, I guess you pluck them before they're ripe. Ukontim Osam Besalim Shaosim Ilulavim. You put them into some sort of wicker basket. And then they ripen by themselves outside, you know, outside of the off of the tree. So the question is, mahu, what's the din? Are you allowed to eat them on Shabbos, right? Are you allowed to eat them, or you're not? I guess they ripen over Shabbos. So what happens is, if you put them in the basket, when you pluck them off the tree, when you pluck them off, they're not roi l'achila. Then you put them in the basket, they're going to become ripe, and then you're going to eat them be mutter. So are they also like the grogos utzimukim? Or maybe here, in this case, you didn't do tichu b'yadayim. You didn't push them away. You actually put them in the basket that you wanted to get them ready to be eaten. I think that's the question. Right? Or the other question, Rashi, that's what I thought, but Rashi says, no, mahu le'echol mehen kodem bishulam. Can you eat them before they ripen? Rashi says, "Mi moda behen demuktzos hein kigrogus utzimukim alo." Are these the same thing like grogus utzimukim or not? So Amar Leis, so Rebbe says back to Rav Shimon Beno, "Ein muksa l'Rav Shimon el grogus utzimukim uvad." He said, "No, these are not muksa. The only thing that's muksa is grogus utzimukim. Again, grogus utzimukim because the ikatarki Rashi says the dachinu biyadayim that you push them off and below chazu and they're not roy. I guess these things are the patzili tamara. I guess they weren't pushed by. They weren't pushed away." They're not dachu because you put them in a basket, I guess. I don't know. I guess they're not considered pushed away because you put them in the basket. I don't know. Why would they? Why are they any different than being on the roof? I missed that before. So he says here, Amar Lei, Ein Muksa L'Rav Shimon El Grogos Utzimukim Uvad. Right, Grogos Utzimukim need both reasons. Number one, that you have to do an action to push them away, Dacham Yidayim. And number two, at the moment that you push them away, they're not royal achila. But he says here, Vapetzilei Tamara Shal Nitchu B'Yidayim. I guess you didn't push them away because you left them in your basket right here. I guess you didn't do an action to push them away. You kept them in the basket right in front of you. Maybe that's it. So therefore, he would say that they are not Muksa, and therefore, I guess you would be able to eat them. So the Gemara says, wait a second, right? The assumption that we made before was that they were asking, since they were asking in the Shita of Rav Shimon, that means the Rebbe holds like Rav Shimon. The Rebbe lesley muksa? Does Rebbe not hold of muksa? I mean, does Rebbe not hold of Rabbi Yehuda? He holds like Rav Shimon. Batnan, we have the following Mishnah in Beitza. The Mishnah in Beitza says, Ein mashkin v'shochatin es hamidbarios, aval mashkin v'shochatin es habaisos. This talks about doing shchita on Yontif, right? You're allowed to shechta on Yontif. You're allowed to do ochel nefesh on yontif. Let's go Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Rebbe Leslie Muksa, right? Rashi says, you know, the first short line, this Kasal Kadaitach, the Havamina is, Midabai Mine Elibid Reb Shimon, from the fact that Rebbe's son asked him, based on the Shita of Reb Shimon, Alma Hava Shmile Meavua, must mean that he heard from his father, from Rebbe, Dich Reb Shimon Sfirle, that he holds Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Gemara says, so that's the assumption. So how can he hold that? Don't we have the following Mishnah? The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to, what they used to do was, I guess, give the animals to drink to make it easier to shecht, and then shecht on yontif. So you can't do that with the behemos hamidbarios, which is the wild animals. Right? Rashi says, mashkin, derech lashkos behemos tishrita, shtei noch lafshit, and hamidbarios habraisos. Braisos means outside, meaning the wild animals. So you can't shecht the wild animals. Why? Because the wild animals are considered muksa. Because since you were Messiah das mehem on Erev Yontif, you had no idea that they would be there on Erev Yontif, because they're out in the wild. They don't come back all the time, so they're muksa. But the more domesticated animals that come back, that so therefore you have intent, you would know about them, you could shecht them on Yontif. So the Tanya, and we learned in the Brisa to explain this Mishnah, well, what are the Midbarios and what are the Brisas? What's the definition? What constitutes an animal that's a Midbarios that you couldn't shecht, and what cats an animal that's a Baisos that you would shecht? So Vitanya Elohim Midbarios, what are the Midbarios? It's called Sheyotzos B'Pesach. It's anything that goes out into the wild during the spring season. V'nichnesos B'Riviyah, and it comes back in the raining season. So they're out for 6 months. They're out in the wild the whole spring and summer. They come back on Cheshvan. And Baisos, what are the Baisos? It's called Sheyotzos V'Ros Chutz L'Tchum V'Baos L'Nos B'Tochotchum. They go out during the day and they come back every day. They come back and forth every day. But Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, no. Both of those, Elu ve'elu baisosen, both of those are considered domesticated. The Elu and Midbarios, what are the Midbarios? It's kol sharoos ba'afar, those that, I guess, they roll around in the dust. The einich nasa so yishuv lo b'yosacham lo b'yosagashavim. Those are the animals that really never come back into the city. They go out, they're never in the city. Those are Midbarios, a more expansive, a more, you know, limited definition of what Midbarios is. What you see from here, I guess the assumption over here, is that this Mishnah is going according to Rebbe. Rebbe's saying that when it comes to these Midbarios, whatever they are, based on his definition, the Mishnah says you can't shecht them. So if you can't shecht them, why? Because they're muksa. So how are you telling me that Rebbe holds a Reb Shimon and Rebbe holds a Reb Yehuda? Because he's holding a muksa in this case. So the Gemara is going to give, it's not such a great question. The Gemara is going to give three answers, right? Answer number one is going to compare it to Grogos with Tzmukim. Answer number two is just going to say that, well, he just explained the Mishnah. It doesn't necessarily mean that he holds like that. That's the easy way to answer. So answer number one, the Gemara says, Ibai Seima, you can say, Hani Nami, these Midbarios that go out, right, they go out into the wild, Kegrogos with Tzmukim Domim. They're similar to Grogos and Tzmukim. Why? Because you just send them out to the wild to graze. You have no intent. That's like putting them on the roof. And they're not roy to be eaten at this time because you have to do shkrita. So the same thing as grogos with simukim, and that's why it says the mutter. So even Rabbi Shimon agree. Ibai same, or you can say the devar of the Rabbi Shimon kamerlei and the leilo sfirlei. Or maybe you can say the original question when his son Rabbi Shimon asked him about the shita of Rabbi Shimon the Tana doesn't mean that he held like Rabbi Shimon. It just means okay, we're learning, so we're gonna learn all shitos. So in according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon, would these unripe dates be considered muksa like grogos with simukim? Or you can say that in our Mishnah that just quoted in Beitza, he's only saying it in accordance with the shitas of the Chachamim, meaning he would say as follows: the Ibai is Ema, the Devrei of the Rabbanan Kamarlu. He's only going according to Shita Rabbanan. Lidi di less the Muksa Klal. Reb would say, I don't hold a Muksa at all. I hold like Rabbi Shimon. Lidi Tchu, but according to you, we do hold a Muksa. So you're making this distinction between Midbarios and Baisos. Well, your definition of Midbarios is wrong. Right, Oduli Mios, the Hecha, the Yotzos, the Pesach, when Niknos Mervia, the Baisos, they know those are Baisos, and you should allow those to be shechted. The Rabbanan Amru, and the Rabbanan say, no, Rambamalei, lo Midbarios, no, those are not Midbarios, and therefore they're not shechted. Meaning, he's just saying, I just want you to clarify your Shita. I hold it's no problem whatsoever because they're not Muksa. You who do hold that they are Muksa, at least get your definition of what's going to be included in the Muksa and what's not. And they said to him, well, we disagree, your definition is too narrow, we have a much broader definition of what Midbarios are. Okay. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So they said, right? Amru, the Bnei Yeshiva said, right? Bar Rachana says in the Rabbi Yochanan that the Bnei Yeshiva said halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muksa. So the Gemara says, really, is that what Rabbi Yochanan says? Rabbi Yochanan achi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muksa? What about the following? So some elderly gentleman, either was from the town of Keroya or was from the town of Saroya, asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kina shel tarnagoles mahu litutle b'shabbos. Can you move, I think it's a chicken coop, I'm not sure how it defines in the article, can you remove this chicken coop on Shabbos? Right? Can you move this chicken coop on Shabbos? Right? And v'amar, sorry? A portable chicken coop. Okay. It's like a portable charger. A portable chicken coop. Okay. V'amar lei, and he says, Rabbi Yochanan says back to this elderly gentleman, klum osoy el tarnagolim. What is the purpose? What is the use of this chicken coop? The purpose of this chicken coop has no other purpose other than to be used for the chickens. Rashi says, it's interesting, Rashi says, Hilkach havle milachto le'isser v'asser. Seems to be Rashi has been saying it becomes a klisha milachto le'isser, which is asser, and therefore, alma isle muksa. You must hold it there's muksa. But they all were showing him, what malacha is it? Klisha milachto le'isser. A staple is klisha malachta l'isser. You know, a scissor is klisha malachta. What's the, because there's a malacha, so its main purpose is for a malacha. What malacha is here? So most Rishonim say that what Rashi means here, he doesn't use the word kli. He just says malachta l'isser means a busis, right? It's a support. It's a busis l'davar asr. The chickens themselves are muksa, and the coop is a busis. So he says there's no purpose for this coop other than the chickens, and therefore it's a busis l'davar asr, and therefore it can't be moved. If it can't be moved, sorry? Correct? If it can't be moved, exactly. And if it can't be moved, well then, it's muksa. So who's he holding like? He's holding like Rabbi Yehuda. You just said he held like Rabbi Shimon, the left Rabbi Shimon. Here he's holding like Rabbi Shimon. So how can you say that he holds like Rabbi, how can you say he holds like Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, no. Hachabai iskin, and we're healing over here. The isbe efroach mis. There's a dead chicken side. So the dead chick, apparently, as Rashi says, the dead chicken side is not royal for anything, right? And you can't even give it to a dog's. It's not even usable for dogs. Right? The Rav Shimon says, you chop up dead animals for the dogs to eat. That's only a certain case. Only if it was not healthy, but bria lo. Point being over here, that this Ephroach died on Shabbos, and therefore you never had intent to use it on Shabbos, and even Rav Shimon would agree that this makes it muksa. So therefore, he could still be holding Rav Shimon. So Gemara says, wait a second, that only works. Hanichal the Mar Bar Amimar Mishmei the Rava the Amar Modai Rav Shimon the Bale Chayim the Meisu Sheasurim. That's only according to the Shita Gemara and Beitza that says Rav Shimon agrees that these situations where you have an animal dies on Shabbos that it becomes muksa. El the Mar Bar Rav Yosef Mishmei the Rava the Amar Cholatay Rav Shimon Afilu Bale Chayim Shemesu Shem Utarin Michael and Meimar. But according to that Mandamar who says that Rav Shimon would not say that this is muksa. Well then, why? If so, according to that shita, then Rav Shimon would say this is not muksa. So then, maybe this. What do you say? I mean, I think you say one. So you say Rabbi Yochanan still holds like Rav Shimon, and it holds like the other man, the Amar. Okay, but that's not the way the Gemara went. So the Gemara says no. Hachlamai iskinan de isbe beitza. What happens is in the coop that Rabbi Yochanan did not permit you to move, there is a beitza that I guess was born on Rashi says Shonolda Hayom, that the beitza was born today. So it's another level of muksa called nolad. It wasn't here yesterday, and it's here now. So Rav Shimon would agree that that was muksa. The Gemara says you can't say that, because if you learn the first plot in Maseches Beitza, Lama Rav Nachman, man to isle muksa, isle nolad, the less they muksa, less they nolad. No, it goes hand in hand. If you hold of muksa, you hold of nolad. If you don't hold of nolad, you don't have a nolad. So Rav Shimon doesn't hold of nolad. So again, how can you say that this is usser if you're holding like Rav Shimon? So Gemara says, no, to isbe beitzas efroach. You have, it laid an egg, somehow you knew, that inside the egg has a chick, right? The Beitz Afroach. And Rashi says there, V'kelev lo achalei mishum klipa. And the chick, and no dog would eat it. It's a Beitz that has a chick inside, that even Rav Shimon would agree here that that is muksa, because it's not ru'uya to anything. It's not ru'uya to an Adam, because you're not going to eat with the chicken side. The dogs won't eat it, Rashi points it out, because of some sort of shell. So therefore, since the beitza is, therefore the beitza becomes, therefore the chicken coop becomes a basis for this thing that even Rav Shimon says is not allowed to be moved, and becomes a basis of Asar, and that's why Rav Yochanan said you couldn't move it, but he can still hold it Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon would agree in this limited case that it is muksa. Okay. Ki Asar Rav Yitzhak Rav Yosef. But when Rav Yitzhak Rav Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, he said as follows, that Rav Yochanan said, Halach Rav Yehuda. The Rabbi Yochanan said halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is Islay Muksa. Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Amar, Rabbi Shu ben Levi says halacha Rav Shimon. Rabbi Shu ben Levi said that Rabbi Yochanan said halacha is like Rav Shimon. Amar Rav Yosef said, well, now that Rav Yosef came and said that the halach psak halacha from Rabbi Yochanan was like Rabbi Yehuda, Haidu da Amar Rabbi Baruchana, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar halacha Rav Shimon. That's why initially the language that they said before was they initially said the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, but now the less nice for your leg. But now they say the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. They don't hold like that what they said in the yeshiva. In the yeshiva they said the halacha is Rav Yochanan. It was Amru that the halacha is Rav Yochanan. But now that Rabbi Baruchana came and put the psak Meretz Yisrael that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, so the halacha psak is Rav Yochanan holds that the psak is like Rav Yehuda, that islay muksa. So Amru le Abaye Rav Yosef. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Va'at lo tizbra de Rav Yochanan ki Rav Yehuda? Wait a second. Before Rav Yitzhak Bar Yosef came, you, Rav Yosef, didn't hold that the halacha was like Rav Yehuda? You had to wait for them to tell you that Rav Yochanan held that the halacha was like Rav Yehuda? What about the following? Right? Every time Rav Yosef and Abaye comes up, Abaye is correcting Rav Yosef. Remember, Rav Yosef got sick and he forgot all his learning, so Abaye had to remind him of all his learning. So, what about the following? Ha Rabbi Abba Rav Asi iklu lebei Rabbi Abi de min Chayfa. So Rav Abba and Rav Asi went to the house of Rav Abba from Haifa. The nafal minarta al glima de Rav Asi. And it looks like the candle fell over, I guess, onto the cloak. I assume he wasn't wearing it. Maybe the cloak was on the side. It fell onto his cloak, I guess, and it was burning it, right? Or maybe it was getting all over it. Velo tiltua. And he didn't move. He didn't move the cloak. My time, what's the reason why he didn't move it? Lav mishum de Rav Asi, talmid Rav Yochanan hava, must be because Rav Asi, who was a talmud of Rav Yochanan, the Rav Yochanan can Rabbi Yehuda's fiulei, and Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda to isle muksa, who held that there was muksa. So why did you, Rav Yosef, have to wait to hear the shmua from that Rabbi Yochanan held about that Rabbi Yochanan held that the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda? This case happened in front of us that he saw that he held like that. He heard that the talmud of Rav Yochanan held that there is isle muksa. So it must be the Talmud is going to hold like the Rebbe. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. Right. So from this Maisa itself, you should have known. So Amr Le. So I'm going to finish up. Amr Le Minarta Kamart. You're talking about this Maisa with this menorah. That's how you can prove that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. Halo Minarta Shani. This menorah, the dinim of menorah are different. They're much more stringent when it comes to muksa. And even Rav Shimon is going to agree that these things are muksa. So if Rav Shimon, let's just, we have to get to the reasons why. But if Rav Shimon would agree that these items are muksa, so then there's no proof. So then, and so the fact that he didn't remove them, he didn't touch this case, he didn't pick up the menorah, doesn't prove you like Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's Rav Shimon also. So maybe Rav Yosef didn't know that Rav Yochanan paskened like Rabbi Yehuda until the Shmuel came, because this Maisa wouldn't prove it. He says, and how do we know this menorah is different? The Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Asi, Hore Reish Lakash Bit Sidon, Reish Lakash made the following psak in Sidon, Menorah Hanitelas Biyodo Achas. I guess if you have the small menorah that you can carry in one hand, Mutter Lutaltila, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. But Bishtei Yodav, a menorah that is so big, that has to, you need two hands to carry it. Asr l'taltula. You're not allowed to carry it on Shabbos. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein lanu ela b'ner ki Rabbi Shimon. Right? Aval menorah, bein nitla b'yodo echad, bein nitla b'shtey yodav, asr l'taltula. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. When do we hold like Rabbi Shimon that you're allowed to carry it? That's only when the ner is lit. But the menorah, this menorah, even Rabbi Shimon would agree, whether it's held by one hand or whether it's held by two hands, you can't carry it. So tomorrow we'll get to the reasons, right, Menachem? We'll get to the reasons tomorrow. But you can't, where are we going to start tomorrow, Menachem? I know, it just keeps going. So you'll start here. So, yeah, so just we haven't explained the reason, but the point being here is that a menorah is different. We just, Rabbi Yochanan proved that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that you can't carry the menorah. So the story of the menorah falling and no one moving it doesn't prove like you hold a Rabbi Yehuda, because even Rabbi Shimon would hold that you can't move the menorah. And tomorrow we'll pick up with Taimamai, which will explain to us the reasons why even Rabbi Shimon was so machmir when it came to the menorah. All right, apologies for the technical difficulties earlier. And I guess we'll pick up and see everybody tomorrow. Maybe it's working. I hope so. All right, take care.